told at least one, maybe more than one, that the roofers would probably be here and done before the hand railing gets installed. But now, it may be that both of them will show up tomorrow morning. So, oh well. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Book of Ezekiel and chapter 1, and we're ready to begin looking at verse 10 tonight. Verse 10. Let's read verse 10 of chapter 1. As for the likeness of their faces, that is, the faces of the cherubim, they four, all four of them, had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. Remember, verse 5, it said these cherubim had the likeness of a man. The likeness of a man. But what man have you seen that have wings? And what man have you seen that had four faces? Now, sometimes some people might have four different personalities come out. Most of us have two. You know, there's the sweet you, and then there's the not so sweet you. Most of us have at least two types of personalities. But four faces. Once again, we say, what kind of a monstrosity was this? But keep in mind, this whole vision has to do with God and the glory of God and portraying some likeness of God. The four faces. I was going to look it up, I didn't. But I think it's in Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah's vision, there were six. Six cherubim, I think. Four here. Four faces on each cherubim. We have another place recorded of four faces. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. In chapter 4. Revelation calls it beast. Ezekiel called it living creatures. I think in Revelation we could say living creatures. But in verse 7 it says, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second a calf, and the third had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Haven't necessarily tied together Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4 other than just the likenesses that are there mentioned. Face of a man, face of a lion, face of an ox, or Revelation called it cattle. Anyhow, and then an eagle. And it makes point to tell us that the face of a man in the front, the face of a lion on the right, the face of an ox on the left, and the face of an eagle on the back. What is represented here? Well, as I thought about it, and as I read from commentaries, and believe me, when it comes to Ezekiel, the commentaries are all over the place. And I don't think any two agree on anything. But I think the representation here is the highest forms. Think about this, the highest forms of animal life in their various classes. The first one we're going to consider is the first one mentioned, the face of a man. Now we said when we were on verse 5 and the likeness of a man, that man stands for the crown of God's creation. But man is an intelligent being. Something cannot be said about any of the rest of God's creation. Man far excels, even I think at last week or 2 weeks ago, we pointed out, far excels the ape. Quite often we'll kid about going to the zoo. Oh, you're going to see your relatives. Well, there are no relatives of man. You see, man didn't come from them. And sometimes we might act like them. In fact, quite often I look at men and I think, man, they sure are acting like a beast. You know. But nonetheless, in intelligence and the ability to reason and to think far exceeds all the rest of the animal life. I want us to consider some scriptures that bring this out and point this out to us. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and the first one we'll look at in Matthew is chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Of course, this is talking about our providence and not worrying about what tomorrow holds and whether we're going to have food to eat, whether we're going to have clothing, or whether we're going to have shelter. Don't worry about those things. But notice what he says. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, God cares for the animal life, but He says, you're much better than they. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Now consider Solomon and what you know about Solomon. I hope you know some things about Solomon. In all his wisdom, and yes, he excelled in his wisdom. Scripture said he was the wisest man that ever lived. But not only did he excel in wisdom, he excelled in riches. I mean, he was merchandising his great wisdom. I mean, kings of the earth were coming in, and they were bringing all these gifts and showering upon him just to hear his wisdom. And Jesus said that Solomon was not arrayed in all his glory like the lilies of the field. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? In other words, you're of more value than they. Shall He not take care of you, even over them? If He takes care of them, He's certainly going to take care of the crown of His creation. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of Matthew. The 10th chapter. And look at verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That is, without His knowledge, without Him allowing it. Look at verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You see? God putting our thinking right. And man today would have you to think that the animal life is just as important, in fact, more important than human life. It's getting to the place, folks, where it's almost more of a crime to abuse and mistreat a dog or a cat or animal life than it is to abuse or mistreat humans. Just think about the death of the unborn. Thousands, millions of unborn children. Aborted every day. Because the mother didn't want it. And it's her body and she has a right to choose. You turn that same kind of reasoning around and try to use it for abuse and misuse of a pet and see how far that'll get you. The Word of God tells us that we're more valuable than many sparrows. The point is that God takes care of them, and He doesn't allow anything to come to them without His say-so. And how much more worth are we than they? Turn with me to the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter in verse 11. And He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. It's setting forth the principle that a man is a more value than a sheep. We're the crown of His creation. We were made in the image of God. Created He male and female. Now, keeping those thoughts in your mind, that more valuable than all the rest of His creation, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 139. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now I know the Lord knows all His creation. But His Word only says this about man. Thou hast searched me and known me. And He knows each and every one. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Yes, He knows that about all of His creation. He knows where they're all at any given second. But He says this about man. This is said about man. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Again, God takes thought of man. He knows that humbles me when I think that God knows my thoughts afar off. What does that mean? He knows what I'm going to think before I think it. That's what it means. Isn't that humbling? Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And I think about how often I go about my ways and my things and my doings and think sometimes that nobody's aware of it. Well, God is. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. What's that mean, a word in my tongue? That means a word I'm about to speak, but I haven't spoken yet. He knows every word. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. See, that's not said about the rest of his creation. It's so about the rest of his creation. We just saw that he knows that the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Lord, without his say so, without his approval, without his permitting it. Psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Yeah. These are things that we as humans, we just don't think about. We can't fully understand how that can be. Because we're limited. We're limited in the scope of what we know, what we see, what we think. But God knows. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Verse 14 we read a couple weeks ago, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Listen, if the other verses didn't set man apart from all the rest of God's creation, this verse here does. Definitely does. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Listen. He determines that whether we're male or female. He determines what we're going to look like. You say, no, husband and wife determine that. It's in the genes. No, God determines it. That's how you can give birth to three children, and yes, there are similarities about all three, but all three are different. Or six. Or 8, or 19, or 20. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. That cannot be said about the rest of his creation. The rest of his creation can't even be aware of that. He puts in them what comes natural to that beast. And they just do by nature what they are. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. you ever try to count the sum of them? He says, if I should count them, he means if I should try to count them, they're more than the sand. Can you number the sand? And he says the sum of God's ways towards him are more than sand. Wow. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Yes. Said concerning the Lord, that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. He knows the very heart of man. He knows my heart tonight. He knows my purpose in standing before you. He knows your purpose in being here. He knows my purpose in being here. Wow. The wisdom of God. Sometimes I read and thinking on passages such as this, and I begin to try to think of the wisdom of God and all that was involved in creation. All that is involved in the human body. Staggering, is it not? Job said this in the book of Job in chapter 12. The book of Job in chapter 12 and verse 12, he said, with the ancient, that is with the aged or with an old man. But this has direct reference, I believe, to the eternal one. It has reference to he who has no beginning, he who has no end. He's eternal. He was before the heavens and the earth. He was before all of his creation. It said, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Oh, the wisdom of our God. And man was created in his image, in his likeness, with the ability to think and to reason. Not just a dumb animal, if you please. So of all the beasts, man excels them. But then of the beast, of the wild beast, what excels the wild beast? What is king of the jungle? Is it not the lion? Lion stands for the greatest of wild animals. The lion represents boldness. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. In verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You see, a lion is said to be pretty bold. A lion doesn't flee from anything, doesn't fear anything, except maybe to some degree man, because God has put the fear of man into him. But you corner a lion, you got trouble. You get near a lion's cubs, and you got troubles. You see, a lion represents boldness. But not only does a lion represent boldness, a lion represents fierceness. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7 and in verse 2, says, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. You just think about the fierceness of a lion and tearing its prey apart with its paws and with its mouth. Fierceness. But not only is a lion in Scripture bold and fierce, The lion is said to be strong, said to have strength. Turn with me back to the book of Judges. Judges in chapter 14. Go to an incident in Samson's day. I wanted to say Solomon. In Samson's day. Remember, Samson put forth his riddle. And if they could reveal the riddle, then he'd give unto them. Well, in Judges chapter 14, they reveal the riddle to Samson. In verse 18 it says, "And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle." They had plowed with his wife. They had gone to her, and they had worked her over, and you find out this riddle from Samson. You see? It's stronger than a lion. The thought there is that there's nothing stronger than a lion, nothing sweeter than honey, and nothing stronger than a lion. So a lion is thought to be bold, is thought to be fierce, and he's thought to have great strength. Also, concerning the strength is brought out to us in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 30. "A lion which is strongest among the beasts, and turneth not away for any," and he alludes to his boldness. He doesn't turn away for any beast. He's bold before them. He's rightly king of the jungle. I'd almost forgotten that. I grew up with it as a child. And it took this to refresh my memory. Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles in chapter 12. But we have here an analogy in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 of David's warriors to a lion in chapter 12 and verse 8. "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the rose upon the mountains." Their faces were like the faces of a lion. That is, there was a boldness in their face. There was a fierceness in their face. There was strength. They were mighty men of war. You see. We've all seen men that look bold, look fierce, and look strong. Man, I don't want to meet them in a dark alley somewhere, haven't we? Well, that's what these men were. You know, they were men of war. But we'll give you another one. And then I guess we'll have to close with this one. Revelation. And I guess it's a fitting place to quit with this one. Revelation chapter 5, in verse 5, you probably know already where I'm going. "And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. The lion of the tribe of Judah. What is that saying there? That is saying the Lord Jesus Christ, King out of Judah. What does that mean? He was the seed of David that was set on the throne forever. David's seed was promised to set on the throne in Jerusalem forever. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion or the King of the tribe of Judah. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. All right, we'll quit there tonight. We got two faces done. Next time we'll look at the next two. You think about the ox and the eagle, and think about them on the same thread as we've dealt with man and the lion here, and you'll have it. All right, shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Ron, would you dismiss us?